this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond, sir.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Ole's magic run comes to an end in the Premier League. I don't know. I think we deserve the win. A lot of the pundits said we didn't deserve the win. I don't know what you think, but it was a tough day at the office.
Sir, to win, you got to put the ball in the back of the net.
That's true.
And we had a few chances. Couldn't do it, and you lose some points. A critical game, one that I argued on the last podcast, might be more important than PSG. I think the boys came out flat, and it's going to be a hell of a race. The season ain't over, guys.
Ain't over.
I mean, it's like this is a real tight race for top four. It means a lot to this club. Who can we attract in the summer? We have to win top four, or we need to win the Champions League.
Hey, anything's possible. But let's remember where we were 3 months ago, right? So this is the first loss for Ole in the league, but we were 11 points adrift. Now we're right in it. Arsenal had their day. They're all excited about it. It's like they won the league for them. So we need to come back from this and win against Wolves, bro. Because that's the next big game. We're in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. We're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. We got 8 games left in the Premier League. We got to just keep it up, sir.
On to the next one before we get into the Wolves match. We have this lowly Arsenal game to break down. Of course, Arsenal 2, Manchester United 0 at the Emirates Stadium. The pure banter club having a laugh. Jumping to the lineup, sir. 4-4-2 for United. For Ole, we had Dave saves in net, Lindelof, Smalling, center back pairing, Shaw and Young, left and right back, Pogba, Matic, Fred, Dalot, Lukaku and Rashford up top. You saw this lineup. What did you think?
I thought this was a good lineup. I was excited about it. I was happy to see Matic back in the fold. I was happy to see my boy Fred get another nod after his performance in Paris. And Pogba. You know, we missed Pogba in Paris. We didn't need him, but it was good to have him back because he's probably our best outfield player. So, you know, let's get him back involved, get him a goal. I was excited about this lineup. So what were you thinking?
I was actually a little concerned about having Matic and Fred play behind Pogba. Given that Matic has been out so long, Fred did have a good match, but in the Premier League, he hasn't come off particularly well. He has had some minutes of late, but I did see those two as kind of the weakness. And at Arsenal, they're going to overload the midfield, which I think we saw in the game, and we didn't play too well. Because I want to get Pogba forward in the hole. I would have preferred a 4-2-3-1. Put Pogba in the hole, maybe McTominay and Matic behind him. I think that's kind of sending a signal, play more defensive at Arsenal, hit him on the counter, Rashford on the left, Dalot on the right, Lukaku down the middle. I think that might have been a better plan of attack. But, you know, we went with the 4-4-2, and boy, we got to watch that. So let's jump in first half. Arsenal start fit and firing. I was surprised. The boys kind of looked shocked. I thought the PSG game, you know, you win a big game midweek. How are the boys going to react? Arsenal lost a big game Thursday. They end up having the right reaction. We were kind of like believing the hype train a little too much. What do you think?
Oh, man, I don't know if I agree with everything you just said. They definitely had the bigger loss in the midweek. They definitely came out the hotter team in the first half. But I think end of the day, we were a better team, hit the post twice. You know, create a lot of big chances. I just think the finishing wasn't there. Lukaku could have had a hat trick. Rashford could have had a brace. We could have trounced them. It was that Lindelof had probably his poorest showing under
Ole. Yeah, well,
Ole.
I'm talking about the first 10 minutes when we come out of the game.
They came in.
Right?
Dude, so they came out looking pretty happy.
Yeah,
they came out hot.
And we also had a couple.
It was an open game.
A little bit. In our own third, they were kind of pinning us back. They didn't create too much, though. They did come out. As the game went on, we definitely blew up their chances. But in the second minute, hot chance. Klasnich, which has been a great ball. Lacazette should have got on it. Lindelof let it go. Thought he was probably going to put in his own net. I mean, this one, whew, we got away with one right here in the second minute, right?
That was some nervy stuff. I think Lindelof looked like he was on shaky foundation. From the jump of this game, it was definitely an off day for him. But this was a close call. Made a couple close calls, but we also had some close calls. So in the 9th minute, Lukaku hit the post, and Pogba played a smart 1-2 with Shaw. He released the fullback to bomb down the left flank, so that was good to see. His first time cross is great. Bend in toward the box with Lukaku, smashes it goalwards, but Monreal did enough, and Lukaku hit the crossbar, and that was kind of the day he had, dude. He was exactly where he needed to be.
He kicked it into the ground, then it bounced up into the crossbar.
Well, Monreal put him off.
Yeah, but you know, either way, this in the ninth minute, we've seen Lukaku miss early chances before, come back with the brace. This one I wasn't too worried about, but it was on a plate. I thought that on his form, that should be in the back of the net, and we should be rip-roaring, hitting him for that 4-0 I called. But, you know, that's the way the football gods, that's how they work. They giveth and they take it away, and in the 12th minute...
Ultra-high line. Xhaka. Oh! 1-0 Arsenal. David De Gea just beaten in the flight, and Granit Xhaka from long range gives the Gunners the lead. De Gea mystified. Arsenal jubilant. Game was back in early November.
Sir, let us know how you feel about Xhaka. You're not a big fan of Xhaka.
World-class Xhaka. I think that shot deflected off the ghost of Jose Mourinho. But I've never seen a ball take a curve like that. This was the game. In 3 minutes, Lukaku hits the post, and then Xhaka scores. Is that a worldie? I mean, I don't even know what happened, sir. It was like a knuckleball.
No, I mean, like, the way he struck it, it was kind of, for me, just watching the replay, it was confusing because you think off his left foot, it's going to curl, you know, towards the right. And then I think his toe kind of went under the ball at the last second, giving him that whip. And so when you see De Gea, it does look like when he strikes, it's going to curl the other way and ends up floating to the left. Either way, Xhaka's not practicing that in training. That's a complete lucky goal. I mean, have a go, son. That's really what this is. Anyone, Burnley can hit you with these. But granted, Xhaka celebrating like he planned that from the training ground, which I, you know, if you asked him with a few pints in him, he'd probably admit that that was just a whip of the foot and it went in. So good kudos to him there.
That summed up the day, basically. I mean, De Gea came off his line too early. That was a mistake. It's a goalie mistake. But at the end of the day, he wasn't expecting a curveball from Xhaka.
I don't blame De Gea at all for this. It was kind of a weird shot, careened in a weird fashion. He was taken by surprise, Xhaka shooting it. I mean, to make it a De Gea mistake, I mean, you see the flight of the ball when he hit it. It seems like it could wrong foot a lot of keepers in the EPL there. So I'm going to call it a fluke goal. Can't be blaming Dave. He's got to sign that deal, sir. I don't want to slate him on the pod. He might listen in. You know,
he could be listening in, and you know,
world
we definitely
number
want,
one.
He's bailed us out a lot. He bailed us out big time, right? 14 saves the last time we played Arsenal in the league at the Emirates. So I'm not going to slate Dave, but this was kind of like, oh my god, we hit the post. They scored some ridiculous goal. Yeah. Didn't take. We hit the post again a little bit later, sir.
Dude, an 18th minute, Fred, another great pullback from clever hold up play, and Fred just lashes at the ball, kind of going inside outside, hits the post. Leno almost got a touch. I think he was there to cover it. Leno was up for the task regardless. And two posts, Arsenal 1-0. It's that type of day. And as a fan, tough to watch. I mean, our chance creation was good, but I do think we could have come out a little better. I think the lineup, the midfield, we didn't get right the whole game. You know, we could have imposed our will a little more. We did play well. We did get chances, like you said, but I do think there was something a little off for the boys. And maybe call it celebrating too hard after PSG, De Gea snoozing, Lukaku's finishing off. You don't know.
We used all our magic up on Wednesday. I mean, we had like the gods were smiling. The football gods were smiling down on us on Wednesday. They didn't want evil oil-backed PSG to make it to the quarterfinals. They wanted, you know, the greatest club in English football to make it to the quarterfinals. So they allowed United to proceed, and all that luck was drained out for this game because we're a better team than Arsenal. We played better than Arsenal, and ultimately they got the win.
That's the frustrating part is Arsenal were shit.
They were not good.
Lindelof
had a poor game, so he made Lacazette look lights out because he basically just like, I don't know, he wouldn't have a good game. And Lacazette took advantage of that a couple times, had some good chances.
But we had the same amount of chances.
We had more chances.
I mean, like, it was more than our favor, maybe 60-40 as far as just if you look at XG. But again, you get a penalty called and you get a lucky finish. You know, those balls bounce off the post and in. It's, you know, it's 2-1, right?
Hit the post twice. Right. I mean, 2-2 would have been a fair result, but it was one of those days, sir. And
that's why you play the game.
Even Fergie had these days, right? You have these days, you hit the post, you create chances all day, you get bad break on a penalty. It happens. It's part of football. And that's the end of the reign for Ole, but that's just kind of, you know, that's just how it works. And now you got to bounce back.
Yeah, in the 27th minute, more of the same. Decent chance for Marcus Rashford, United's number 10, from Pogba and Lukaku creating it. But his head's still in Paris, sir, along with the rest of the team, like you like you said. And in the 35th minute, another golden opportunity. A defense-splitting pass by Rashford. Cars open the Arsenal back line. Lukaku powers through. He had a lot to do. He had to shoulder off a few Arsenal defenders, but he got one-on-one with the keeper and Leno up to the task. Another good save by him. Lukaku just off the mark. I don't really slate him for this chance, particularly because you know, the keeper was there, the defenders were on him, but there was a few others that I think he could have put it away, just like the one earlier in the match as well.
He has some good chances, and he's been our guy, right? He's had three braces in a row coming into this game. He should have had another brace at least in this match based on the chances he had, but that's no one else bailed him out, right? Rashford could have had a brace in this game. He had a really good chance in the 43rd minute, so it just wasn't our day, sir.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just frustrating first half of football. So going into half, what'd you think Ole was saying to the boys? It seemed to me that based on the chances we did create, we were going to come good. And then as a fan, you know, I thought that on TV. I was like, we're going to score. And once we score, Arsenal's going to fold, you know, like a wet noodle. They're not even going to, like, as soon as we score, they're done. And it was there for the taking. So I said, same tactics, right?
Yeah.
Anything to change?
Play a little faster. You know, keep that high press going. And lads, finish, because the finishing under Ole has been terrific. I think we're one of the best finishing teams in Europe under Ole, actually. And this game, we had a lot of good chances, way more good chances than Arsenal did, and we just didn't take them. And more of the same in the second half. We came out and we created more, and 48th minute, didn't take long. Another chance for Lukaku. Matic this time floating in a simple ball over the top for the Belgian. And for a moment, the Belgian is one-on-one with Leno, but once again, Arsenal goalkeeper does enough, reads the pass, and he comes out just enough to get in front of my boy Big Rom, and it just wasn't happening. He wasn't getting those shots off quickly enough. He had a couple chances like this, and it was everything but the final product for Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah,
his Arsenal.
And the same in the 50th minute. I mean, this is the only one that I could really get on him for. It was the chance where he was in on goal. Rashford kind of opens up the defense. And then Leno gets in and makes this diving save. I think Lukaku did a stutter step. And, you know, this one was the one, you know, Arsenal's 1-0. He's in on goal, one-on-one. And we should have gotten the equalizer, right? That's the real chance.
I mean, it's true. Ed, it's all this talk, right? Everyone's like, oh, deserved win from Arsenal. You look at the scoreline, Arsenal 2-0. Wow, they must have really took it to United. Dude, we played better than Arsenal. You watch that game. We created more than Arsenal. I know Lindelof was picked apart a little bit by Lacazette, and they created a bunch through him. Ramsey had a couple opportunities, looked pretty good, but like we came out the second half looking strong, you know, up until the goal.
This one, the 50th minute, this one is the chance. This is the chance of the match. The other ones are half chances. People can slay Lukaku if they want, but this one is, look, he's played a lot of minutes. So I'm officially not slating Lukaku here. I'm just discussing how meaningful this chance was. He's made the right move. Rashford got the ball into his feet. He's one-on-one with the keeper. That ball goes in the net. It's 1-1. United probably go on to win the game. Top four is a lock, right? And this game is so important with Lukaku. Maybe he's tired. He's played well. We've gotten a good return from the Belgian in the last three games. And with this chance, what arguably could have been, it's just as important as the Southampton goal, right? It's that goal of Southampton he scores. That was harder to do than this one, right?
How hard was the goal against Buffon, the first goal in the second minute on Wednesday? I mean, that was like a really hard goal to score, harder than a bunch of the goals he scored.
Yeah, but I value that a little less because you have to win the Champions League to get Champions League next year, and that's a lower chance we're going to do that versus just getting top four.
You would have rather won this game than won the Paris game.
Absolutely, because top four matters that much for us next year, and the amount of money we're going to spend, who we're going to get, can actually challenge to win. I do rate us. I mean, what percentage would you put on us win the Champions League right now? 30%? I mean, that's like, I would put 30%, and that's me being a fan and being biased. So if you look at the 30% chance to top four, what are our chances to top four now? Right, and that's...
No, we still have... I still think we have a 50-50 chance
with
top four.
With a win in this game,
oh,
100%.
It's like 80-90% chance.
So that's what that's
how I value
it.
We're still one of the best form teams. I know we have to play two big teams. Arsenal basically have a very easy schedule, but Arsenal are a bunch of baby bitches, and they're chumps. You know they're going to blow it. No, we just need to do our thing. Keep focusing on our game.
But we gave them momentum.
We did.
We gave them momentum in a race that could have been done. It would have been 100%.
It would have been over. We would have been tied with Spurs for third place.
And I boil a lot of the game down to this chance. Fairly or unfairly, that's kind of how I kind of read it, is that ball has to go in the net, and then we go on win or draw. And either way, that would help us immensely in the race for top four. But we're going to keep hitting chances. You know, we keep growing into the game again. Another great transfer, Rashford, in the 64th minute. And you just knew it wasn't our day.
You did.
In the 68th.
Lacazette. Claims for penalty. Penalty given. And midway through the second half, Fred's foul gives Arsenal the opportunity to double the... Aubameyang kept his nerve. Arsenal lead by 2-0. Is United's unbeaten league record under Solskjaer coming to an end at the most inopportune of moments?
Sir, let me get your thoughts. Penalty, not penalty, what do you think? John Moss,
big fan. I think people that listen to the pod regularly know how we feel about John Moss. You know, he's the most out of shape referee in the game, which is an indictment if I've ever heard one. But this is just like more of an indictment on Lacazette. Just, you go down that soft, then that's the kind of player you are.
I mean, contact.
It was technically contact, but that's as soft as it gets. I mean, I think it should be a yellow for Lacazette, but that's the way the game went.
Dude, even
today.
Lee Dixon,
who was completely biased the whole game. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, Arsenal are playing lights out. You know, what are you talking about?
Ex-Arsenal man, hates United, got totally whooped by United's
called it soft.
Whole career. He said it was soft. And if he says it's soft and he's an Arsenal fan, you got to say that's not a penalty. But again, we had enough to do. We had 68 minutes of football. We had to put at least one in their net. We're playing away. We want to win or draw. And so we didn't take our chances. I just chalk it up to that. It's not our day.
The game was over after this.
It is what it is.
Right after the penalty, you're like, after all the chances we had, hitting the post twice, creating a lot of good stuff. Actually, good to have Pogba back. I thought Lukaku played well other than the finishing.
Other than kicking the ball into the net. Yes, he played well. I will give you that. I will absolutely give you that. 70th minute, mistake from Lindelof gives Lacazette another good chance on goal. Like you said, Lindelof. What do you think of Lindelof this match, sir?
It wasn't a good game. I think he'd be the first to admit that he did not have a good showing. He's been lights out. He's been our best center back this year. He's been terrific under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but it wasn't a good game. And I think he'd be the first to admit it, because he gave Lacazette a lot of chances that he didn't deserve.
Making the Gunners look good, 71st minute. All right, after the penalty goes in, Martial, let's get the Frenchman on for Dalot. Dalot was kind of mute in the second half. And then 81st, sub Greenwood replaces Matic, Premier League debut for Greenwood. So shout out to the youth. Appreciate that from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But again, not enough doing for the boys. We didn't ever look like we could get back in this game. And Arsenal looked like they were playing like they wanted us to get back into the game. They were not playing particularly well. And that is what surprises me the most about all the banter post-match, is like, I really don't think Arsenal played that well. I do think Leno played lights out for Arsenal. But as far as Ozil or Lacazette or even Aubameyang, I mean, they didn't look like Mbappe. They weren't carving us up. Should have been scoring tons of goals. Even like last year when we played them and Sanchez was killing it, they created all those chances.
They looked way better last year.
Like, they look way better playing against us than last year. They looked good in the first 15. Other than that, they faded and was ours for the taking, which was really frustrating watching this game, knowing how much it means to us and just seeing us not be able to take our chances, because they wanted to lose. They really wanted to lose short of this penalty.
I mean, they certainly looked like it at times. That's why you can't take this too hard, right? Because ultimately we played pretty well. Wasn't our day. I know you don't want to say that, because it's a results-based business. At the end of the day, it only matters with the 3 points.
Well, you got to win top. You got to make top four.
We do, but with top four, this is not the last game of the year. We're still in the running. Top four wasn't even in consideration 2.5 months ago while our old girlfriend was around. So let's not forget how far we've come.
Yeah, but
let's
that it is in the conversation now. And if we miss out on it, it would be so close. It would just be heartbreaking. So
we're not missing out, sir.
We cannot. That's not an option. Otherwise, we have to win the Champions League. So, Ole, you know, conjure the feelings of 99.
Mountains were made to be climbed, sir.
Finishing up the match in the 92nd minute, another chance for Rashford, but again, too late. Young whipped in a great hanging cross from the right, and Rashford totally unmarked in the box, but his header's off target. Again, summed up the whole game. And that was it. That's all she wrote at the Emirates. Arsenal fans celebrating like they won the league. I mean, that just says it all, right?
proper banter club, sir. That's all they care about. And they posting their like Lacazette dance floor videos. It's kind of embarrassing, actually.
It really made me feel good.
It actually made me feel good, but how excited Arsenal were.
But that was a proper slap in our face because we were rolling in here full hype train, thought we were going to steamroll them. Like I said former pod, I felt like we were going to, based on the chance creation alone. If Lukaku has a better day, I could say we easily win 2-1, maybe 3-2. You know, I mean, aside from the penalty, which was, you can't control that variable, but again, I really thought that game was there for the taking for us. So a frustrating performance all around. And again, how do you bounce back? How do you bounce? That's all that matters. It's on to the next one, on to Wolves, FA Cup.
Away. Once again, it's away, so we got to keep that away form that has been good. And it's a quarterfinal of a competition that we can bring home some silverware. You know, it's not Champions League, it's not top four qualification, but it's still silverware that's important to all United fans. We're a winning club. Silverware is important to get on every year.
Sir, so we haven't won since Louis van Gaal.
It's a minute, and we want some revenge after last year's defeat in the final against Chelsea.
All right, match reaction. Stats-wise, possession, Arsenal 46% of the ball. Manchester United had 54%. That was surprising. Again, away at their house. They're saying they played so well, we had more of the ball. Shots on target, Arsenal 3 to Manchester United 4. Again, another stat line that doesn't really equal the score.
I mean, two plus two should have been 6 because 2 hit the post. You can add another 3 for shots that, like, Leno basically just had a worldie.
Yeah, so again, it just sums up the storyline here. It was there for the taking, just not our day.
Soft penalty.
And Manchester United lost away from home for the first time since the 16th of December. And United failed to score for the first time in 22 away games in all competitions this season. Last time they failed to find the net was on the road against West Ham in May 2018, sir. So hell of a stat there.
And that record has sat since the 50s, I believe, under Matt Busby. So Ole and Mourinho getting that started, but Ole keeping it going on away grounds.
And we clearly should have scored. So John Moss, you could have given us a penalty. Hook us up.
It was a handball shout, at least 1 point. And David De Gea has made 2 errors leading to a goal in a Premier League this season, both of them against Arsenal. So Gunners have David De Gea's number.
Is there an official stat category as error?
I think the first one counts as an error. Yeah.
So, wow, interesting. But what do we know? We're just here giving you the hot banter. Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
You have to be disappointed with the result, but the performance, as you say, was a good one. We created miles more chances today than we compared to, for example, in the Cup game when we played them. I thought the first goal always determines how the game will go, and maybe they, after they scored the first goal, let us have the ball more than they wanted to. But we created chances, big chances, hit the woodwork twice. Leno played well. So in terms of what you can control as your own performance, we shouldn't be too disappointed. Then again, they've got 3 points and we haven't.
You know Ole's class when he comes out. He calls it like he sees it. Played well, created a lot of chances, wasn't our night. On to the next one. All business from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I love that attitude from the manager. Reminds me of Sir Alex Ferguson.
Isn't it nice to have a manager when we lose a game? Say we lost the game, but we played well. Actually, be telling the truth that we were playing well. Yeah, because Mourinho, he'd lose all these games. He'd be like, we played great.
We could have played better, too.
You could have.
We could have played better. I think you could have better players on the field. I do think that midfield,
Matic
didn't
play well.
Well,
Fred didn't play well on the front foot. He played really well defensively, but going forward, he gave away a bunch of balls.
We could have used a Lingard. We could have used a 4-3-3.
Definitely could have used a Lingard.
You know, I do think, and Ole didn't adapt tactically either. He didn't try to get Pogba more involved in the diamond.
He did move the formations around, actually, to be fair. I think in like the 25th minute, he moved Pogba into a more advanced role. And we created quite a bit, sir, to be fair.
No, yeah, it's true. It's true. But when the score sheet says 0, you're always going to complain. But hey,
right.
Let's jump in and talk about the race for the top 4, because this is getting down to the end of it. Manchester City is 74 points. Liverpool, 73. It's going to be a tight title race to the end. Tottenham bottling it, mate. 61 points.
The Tottenham
Arsenal,
way.
60. Manchester United, 58. And Chelsea, 57. But they have a game in hand. We've played 30. They've played 29. Assuming Chelsea wins, we would be in sixth with 57. They and they would be we'd be in sixth with 58, and they'd be tied with Arsenal. Essentially, actually, they'd be in fifth behind Arsenal with 60 points.
Yep.
We would be in sixth with 58. Now, this is a really interesting race because we can look at the matches remaining, right? And the game in hand that Chelsea has is at Everton away, and they did
Everton are not playing well,
and they are not. But they spoiled Liverpool. They drew Liverpool.
That's true.
In their house at the Merseyside. It's going to be tough, sir. The race in the top four. I mean, if you're a betting man, I mean, the odds for Manchester United to make it now, we're definitely against us. We're definitely against us. So let's take a look at the race for the top four as far as schedule goes. Arsenal have Newcastle at home, Everton away, Watford away, Crystal Palace at home, Leicester away, Brighton, Burnley, and Wolves.
So no one in the top six.
Arsenal with the easiest path. Chelsea, like we mentioned, they have Everton, Cardiff, West Ham, Liverpool, Burnley, Manchester United, Watford, Leicester, and Brighton. So clearly the Liverpool fixture and the fixture against us, I mean, we obviously have to play them as well, so that's going to be a big determining factor because Arsenal do seem like they have the advantage on goal differential and schedule. So if you were looking at odds, they would probably be number one to make the top four as of today. And then getting into United's fixtures, they have Watford, Wolves, West Ham, Everton, City, Chelsea, Huddersfield, and Cardiff. So
it's going to be those City and Chelsea, bro. We're going to need to get a result.
4 days apart. They're 4 days apart. April 24th.
We need everybody back.
April 28th. That's really the crux of the biscuit for us. And losing that Arsenal game, it's going to haunt us. Because we say it wasn't our day, but that game, we had to win that game.
I know, but I think the players are fired up. I think the players are fired up because they know they should have won that game. They deserve to win that game.
But we don't control our own destiny. We have to rely on Chelsea and Arsenal to blow it, right? That's the problem.
If we win out,
if we win out, yeah.
I mean, if we win out, we finish top four, of course.
If we beat City and Chelsea, I mean, but also if you beat City, you might win the Liverpool the league. So you're getting into this conversation as well. So
let's take one game at a time. Let's take one game at a time.
And then finally getting to Tottenham. They have Liverpool, Brighton, Huddersfield, Manchester City, West Ham, Bournemouth, Everton, and Crystal Palace.
So they might not even finish the top four. That's something you got to keep in mind. Like, Spurs might be going through like an unbelievable disaster in process right now. Like, they might go from being 13 points ahead of us. Now they're what, 3 points ahead of us, and they could fall out of the top four. Man, they could lose to Liverpool away. That's obviously not an easy fixture. Then they have City a couple games after that. So it's telling you, Pochettino, I think not getting the job at United and Ole getting it might be a curse on him.
But ranking the teams right now, if you were like a bookie in Las Vegas, I would say Arsenal is probably got the best chance of making top four because they have the easiest schedule.
Yep.
And they have the goal differential, and they could determine their own destiny. They are ahead of us, and Chelsea's tied but have less goals. So you have to give it to Arsenal. Then behind that, on form, you got to say it's us, Chelsea, or us.
We're better form.
And so,
than Chelsea.
like you call Tottenham missing out, I probably agree with you. And we are in better form. I mean, it would probably be Arsenal third, United fourth, and then Chelsea, Tottenham, or Tottenham, Chelsea in some order like that. And again, it's
nervy stuff. I mean, we've had a tough race like this since ever. I don't think
we'll know at that Chelsea. I mean, like. The City Chelsea, as a fan, it's just so hard to. It's so stressful to be on the edge. I'd much rather have a little breathing room, you know. Just it's really nerve wracking stuff.
It's gonna be exciting stuff. We didn't even think we were gonna be in the race a couple months ago. So now we're in a proper top four race. We're in two quarterfinals. We only thought we were gonna be one quarterfinal. We're in two. It's exciting stuff, sir. Well, you know,
yeah, and we're gonna have tight turnaround because we're gonna be in the Champions League, right? And that's gonna be another topic of conversation.
Right,
because
we have FA Cup semi. We hope, right? If we can beat Wolves, get into the semi, go to Wembley. We like the Wembley.
I know we are the glorious Manchester United. We're going to Wembley. Either way, sir, we'll keep you posted here. It's gonna be a hell of a race. So stay tuned to the American Red Devils podcast. We'll try to break down all the stats and the banter. But again, I'll look for Vegas odds on this. I think that's one thing I don't have for this podcast. I don't think Vegas really gets into the top four live tracking odds.
William Hill might, but I'm not sure Vegas does.
I'm sure you can find it on William Hill. But either way, we'll get that on future podcasts. We'll start tracking that because I think that would be interesting.
We'll be keeping an eye on that fight for the top four until the end of the season, sir. I think that's a regular fixture until our place is solidified.
It'd be a nice reprieve this weekend with Wolves in the FA Cup. But before that, we got Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow. Today, hit us with your headlines, sir.
First things first, Ole's magic touch faded at the Emirates. And that's right, after the highs of Wednesday, with the luck that came with it, United lost after being the better team. Simple as that. Part of football, no time to question the resurgence of the club. Dude, the mood is up. The boys are playing well. Not everyone had as good of a performance as they have been having under Ole, but this team has come leaps and bounds from where we were months ago. So let's not forget. Let's not forget how dark things were.
Yeah, we're at such a high, taking one step back ain't that bad. Sir, next headline.
You got to remember, boys, keep calm and carry on. And there were some lethargic performances from key players. Lindelof, Matic, Rashford, Pogba, Lukaku, De Gea. But I think we deserve to draw, and arguably, you know, if we had some luck on our side, a win. But guys, girls, whoever's listening to this pod, remember what you're seeing and hearing from the manager, from the players. This is a completely different team. There are good times ahead. We got to just keep the faith.
How good does it feel? Ole's at the wheel. I'm not letting go of that chant just yet. And like you said, we were not off the mark. All we needed was one goal before that penalty in the 68.
They would have fallen apart. You were right.
Arsenal would have completely fallen apart. They would have, like, you know how, the deer in the headlights, mate. Sir, next headline.
Sir, speaking of deer in headlights, let's live to fight another day. Let Arsenal celebrate like they won the league. We've got two quarterfinals to contend with, as well as a third place finish within reach. It's still within reach, 3 points. And if we continue to perform as we've been under Ole, we'll finish in Champions League position and take home some silverware. And that's true. If we keep playing like we've been playing, a little bit of luck always helps. We're going to be in fine position. We're going to finish in the top four, hopefully take home an FA Cup, hopefully shock some people, continue to shock some people in the Champions League.
Shock the world.
Dude, mountains were there to be climbed.
All right, so let's jump in the Twitterverse. It was a light after the match.
A light.
at United Extra, I think this is kind of along the same lines. No overreaction needed. If you said when Solskjaer took charge of his first game in December that United's first league defeat would come on the 10th of March, you would have been over the moon. Ole's at the wheel. Hashtag MUFC. I think this says it all. No need to freak out.
It was amazing. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, but we have a text thread of all our buddies that happen to have Premier League allegiance, and it was the first time they've chipped up in 3 months. United finally lose. They're like, the first time they're yipping since December. So let's not forget that we haven't lost a league game basically for 3 months.
Yeah, they were piling it on the text thread, like, you know, when United were six, I think Everton was above us, like our Everton.
Chelsea talking a lot of shit.
Our friend who's an Everton fan were laughing so hard at the Chelsea fans. You know, it ain't over, though, and it's going to be a stressful run-in, and that's one of those things where I kind of feel conflicted because it's don't worry, but the race for top four is going to mean everything, and we have to win, we have to make it, right? So it's kind of like it was a big game. I do think the way the players reacted, the way everyone's reacting is like definitely let's play it cool, but at the end of the day, if we don't make top four, this game will be probably the primary reason as to why we do not have Champions League football next season.
I mean, I think this could go a couple different ways. This could be like, you know, give Arsenal a false sense of security that they're already secured top four because they're certainly acting like it. They're acting like this is the last game of the year. But I think this is a good wake-up call for us, right? We were flying after knocking out PSG of the Champions League. Everybody, you know, there are a lot of smiles in training, which is good. You want to see that. You want to see smiles, not scowls like we used to see under our previous girlfriend. But I think this is going to like remind the boys that like we haven't won a goddamn thing yet. Nothing is secure. We have everything still left to fight for. So Wolves is a big deal. And let's make it a big deal because the boys got to show up.
I would have taken the Arsenal match over Wolves. But yep, next tweet at Venus underscore. This is true. 0712. Arsenal fans' obsession with us is unreal. ... On the other hand, it shows what a great respect they have for us since they keep celebrating their win like they won the league. Yep, we're the famous Manchester United smiley face emoji. And like you said, I think this sums it up. So a lot of haterade between the Arsenal fans, United fans, mainly because how we dismantled them in the FA Cup 3-1 in their house. And Jesse Lingard did the moonwalk.
They didn't like that.
So, you know, a lot of dance floor banter, but
they also like tweeted out Count Chocula and stole Always at the Wheel slogan, which I did not like. That's like bad blood.
Banter club, sir. Banter club.
All they got.
Next tweet from @JuanMata8. He's a great follow. if you don't follow him. I thought we deserved better today. Proud of my team. We go again next Saturday. Chin up, boys. And the little flex emoji. So Juan Mata with the right attitude. I would expect nothing less from the Spaniard.
He's been through it all. He's got the right attitude. And he's absolutely right. It's not about the result anymore. It's about how you respond to that. And we've got a quarterfinal to look forward to and a lot of games coming thick and fast in the league. So ain't no time to feel bad for ourselves, sir.
Next tweet from the Sun. United are prepared to allow Alexis Sanchez to go out on loan next season. Hashtag MUFC.
Ooh.
Might as well put up a for sale sign. This has got to be from someone close to United. They are looking
to get rid of Alexis Sanchez.
I mean, I think if you're looking at this football club, and if you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's about to get the job to be the full-time manager of this football club, getting Alexis Sanchez out of this club is probably a priority going into next season, especially considering he's injured and he's had 18 months, hasn't come off, looks over it, and the money he's on. So maybe there's a French club, just got eliminated from the Champions League, needs to rebuild, like to spend a lot of money on wages. Why not?
I think there's only one place that Alexis Sanchez is going. And it's China. It's the only place he's going to be able to afford his wages.
China.
He's willing to take a punt on a 30-year-old with injury problems that's probably over it. Sounds like a China to me.
Enjoy China, Alexis Sanchez. Enjoy China.
You and Fellaini, we're killing it.
Sir, well, we can't lament about Arsenal because we got a lot of competitions and we have a next match. That's right. We talked about a Wolves versus Manchester United at the Molineux Stadium in Wolverhampton, Saturday, March 16th, 12:55 p.m. So generous kickoff time in the FA Cup. That's because daylight savings. Yep, we lost an hour of sleep, but hey, football's on a little later for only a few weeks. And then we'll be reset, I think, when they switch as well. United have won 6, drawn 1, and lost 2 against Wolves in the Premier League. And we've won 3 of our last 5 matchups versus Wolves, losing 1, drawing 1. But again, it is away, and Wolves, you know, they got something in their locker, sir.
They got some good players.
They drew Chelsea as well, like this past weekend. So I mean, Neves, they're spoiler.
They're a good team, and they're going to be playing. They play well at home. But this is going to be like an 8 p.m. fixture in England. It's very close to Manchester, so Ole's Red Army is going to be getting up for the Wolves match away. I think we got to get that away magic back again, sir, because this is huge. We got to advance in the FA Cup, and we need to bounce back from the Arsenal loss because nobody likes losing.
We got to put the ball in the back of the net, preferably in the first 25 minutes, and then be on a roll. I mean, that's all we need, sir. We need that momentum. This is probably one of United's best chances for silverware in the FA Cup, so we need to show up, sir. We're not giving up on silverware because we're Manchester United. That's all that matters. Although I did see a poll from the MUFC away fans Twitter account that said, would you rather win the FA Cup or get top 4? And it was 50-50.
Really?
Actually, it was 50-50. I was very surprised. And, you know, we're Manchester United fans, a little greedy with that silverware, so I can see the poll. But for me, it would be
top four
all day.
No doubt.
Only if I was a Tottenham fan would I need some silverware to just get all the other fans off my back. So given we've won it quite a few times, I'd rather try to win the Champions League next season because of the summer window. Hashtag Woodward 350, mate.
Woodward 350. I hope that happens, sir. But we are second highest in the FA Cup. It would be good to match Arsenal for their 13 FA Cups, but top 4 all day because it helps you so much in the transfer window. And Champions League is way more fun than Europa League.
Yeah, I really like laughing at Arsenal and Chelsea playing on Thursdays. It's great. Just a little bit about Wolves. Giving you that history. Formed as St. Luke's FC in 1877. They've played at the Molineux Stadium since 1889, and they are one of the founding members of the Football League in 1888. The club spent 33 years in the top flight from 1932 to 1965, their longest continuous period at that level. Been a little tumultuous. In the 1950s, they were league champions 3 times, 53, 54, 57, 58, and 58, 59, under management of Stan Cullis. Wolves also finished league runners-up on 5 occasions, most recently in 59-60, and they've won the FA Cup 4 times. So the Wolves are actually a dangerous club, most recently in 1960, and finished runners-up on a few other occasions. The club has also won the Football League twice in 1974 and 1980. I mean the Football League Cup twice. So Wolves, they do have silverware in their locker. They have a new, I think it's a Thai or Asian owner, maybe Chinese. I forget the exact where the billions of dollars
come
from.
They're spending money, though.
They're spending big money. They've come into the league with a smash. They are a spoiler. It's ironic. We have a friend who's a Wolves fan who used to like them in the days of Mick McCarty.
Mick McCarty.
Mick McCarty, which is – that's a wild.
He's like an OG.
He's
actually a Wolves fan, like, not just because they got promoted.
We saw him managing Ipswich when they were playing Fulham. We went a couple years back when the Fulham were in the championship.
Take your word for it.
Yeah, but Mick McCarty, he's a legend. Love to meet him.
I have a couple dark gals with Mick.
He's up there with Laurent Blanc, sir.
Legend.
Either way, I mean, it's not going to be an easy task going in, but we have a lot of injuries, sir, and this is what can propel us to top four. I think we get a lot of key players back healthy. One of those players we don't need back necessarily, number one on the list, Alexis Sanchez, MCL knee ligament. He's out till early April. Herrera, hamstring injury, should be back. He could be questionable for the Wolves game. This is the one that kills us. Lingard, no return date. So he's clearly not going to feature for Wolves. I think he would do a lot of damage. He's the type of player that if we got back, and again, you got to look at Ole when he brought him on, you know, and he re-injured his hammy. That was a little too soon for Lingard to come in that game and against Liverpool. And I actually think that could be another critical mistake that Ole made, because when you re-injure it, most likely he's going to be out longer than if he just let it rest the first time. Mata, like, he's tweeting from this couch, hamstring, still no return. Phil Jones got a mysterious illness. Don't know.
Unnamed illness.
Spanish flu. He's out still. Questionable. Hard to say. Darmian, his sideburns. He's got a knock on his sideburns. He's out till the 18th. He might be back. He's got to go get those cut. And Antonio Valencia, he's got that calf strain. He could feature as well, but most likely the back four is set, sir, given those are the injuries. You know, worth looking at. Herrera might be back. Other than that, not much. What is your lineup? What do you got?
So I got Romero in net. De Gea gets the drop after his mistake against Arsenal. I'm just kidding. Romero has been playing the FA Cup, played really well against Chelsea and Arsenal. He's going to keep that run going. Then I got right back of Young, Lindelof, Smalling, Shaw as my back line, and then midfield three of Matic, Pogba, and Fred, and a front three of Rashford, Lukaku, and Martial, so a 4-3-3.
Big Fred fan over here. Big Fred fan.
I played well.
I'm going for the 4-2-3-1, the same formation I would rate against Arsenal. Romero, like you said, Young, Lindelof, Smalling, Shaw, McTominay, Matic, Pogba in the hole, Rashford, Lukaku, Martial. I think that gets the job done. I do like the idea of McTominay and Matic. Fred, for me, you know, it looks like he can do both, going playing defense and going forward, but right now he's not coming off going forward. And defensively, he is known to put in a challenge or two, but I do like the idea of saying, hey, McTominay, Matic, lock it down. Pogba, you're basically a free man like Lionel Messi. Just go wherever you want to play, wherever you want to play. I really think getting Pogba involved is the key for us going forward.
No, I think that'd be huge. If we had that front four, and if McTominay and Matic can do the job that you put out, I think we'd win.
All right, booking the bookies, checking in the line, sir. Like I said, it was guaranteed money until I lost my money. So there you go. That is such is life. When you try to predict the future, it just doesn't work out always. looking at this fixture in the FA Cup against Wolves, Manchester United plus 120, Wolves plus 240, and the draw plus 230. Again, I'm just a Manchester United fan, so I'm going back in on the plus 120 here. I think the boys got to get the job done. Otherwise, there's something systemically wrong here. We do have a lot of injuries, but it's the Wolves. We got to be able to put one behind the net. We got Pogba, World Cup winner, right?
One. How about two behind the net, sir? What's your prediction? I got 2-0. Lukaku comes back with his brace. You know, we've been relying on those braces. He comes back with another brace.
Sir, we shall see. I'm not going to bet Lukaku scoring a brace after the Arsenal match.
Yeah, after he bailed us out three games in a row.
Look, I'm not going to deny he had a hell. I said, look,
she scored a hat trick against
Lukaku's
Arsenal.
Taking a man on, and he's finishing in front of goal, and he looked like lights out those three games. And you actually made the perfect analogy: is the Space Jam juice, right? Whatever, somebody took the juice, and like put it in his water bottle for the game, because Lukaku looked like he just got the Space Jam juice. Like he was not his self.
In the box,
like, right?
For sure.
It just looked like, dude, he was turning on a man, curling it right foot. Like,
I know.
Unbelievable. The finishes against Southampton. I credit everything Lukaku, even that tight angle from PSG. I mean, these goals he was scoring, if you could score those, you should be putting away the ones against Arsenal. That's what. That's really the what Lukaku
had less
to get.
Do. He had less to do. But I think his build-up play was good. I think he played well. I'm just saying his finishing was not on. He was just
and the, United's number nine.
That's important.
Finishing is important. Just like if Rashford didn't score that.
He didn't score. He hasn't scored in games.
Just like in PSG, Rashford doesn't score that penalty. You're like, oh, he played well, but he didn't score the penalty. He's a striker. He's got to score. That's the way he's put on the field. United in the news, sir. Heavy heart today. Louis van Gaal. Louis van Gaal's army officially retired. In the most Louis van Gaal way possible, which is the fact that he got fired from Manchester United, didn't do anything for 3 years,
been chilling.
And then he just announces his retirement out of nowhere, which seems like he's just like ham-boned somewhere. He's looking for Ryan Giggs to slap in the head. Can't find him, and he's just like, I'm done. I retire.
I give up.
I mean, Louis van Gaal gave us the falling down the touchline, slapping Ryan Giggs in the face, the rants at
Mike
the
Smalling.
Annual dinner. Mike Smalling.
Queen's Park Raisins.
Louis van Gaal, sex masochism. If I pull your hair.
Sloppy Giggs twice. I mean, that's great.
I mean, he gave us a lot of highlights. The football was not the best. It wasn't Manchester United. It was like a weird version of Ajax. He did bring us Daily Blind. Unfortunately, he did bring us Schneiderlin.
But he brought us Martial. He gave Rashford his debut.
Yep.
He bought Luke Shaw, who's finally coming off, so it's a mixed bag. He definitely had a bunch of really bad transfers.
He won the FA Cup,
which was good.
Fired
first
the next day.
First silverware post Fergie, which is important. But it's always going to be a mixed resume, bro, because he wasted a lot of cash.
Yeah, I think he'll always go down as like everyone laughing at him, him not getting it, and then him just spending Woodward giving him $400 million to spend, which, you know, to be fair, like Memphis looks a little better in the French league. I don't think he's an EPL player. Moyes got rid of Zaha, but he did. I did like Daily Blind.
LBG got rid of him.
I did rate Schneiderlin as well, right? I mean, there were players that he got that I did agree with. A lot of them just didn't come off. I actually thought that was bad luck.
Di Maria
on his part.
Falcao.
Yeah, I mean, Di Maria should have done better. Look at him in Paris. He's playing better, right? He's playing better than he did at United. He got robbed. I mean, that when he moved here with his family, he gets robbed.
Pretty bad.
The people of Manchester got to stop robbing the footballers that come here.
Especially United players. Yeah, rob the city players.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that happens too.
Yeah. That's actually a thing. It's a weird. It's funny. They know they're not there at their house because they're playing in the game. They rob them. And it's like you should think through that a little more. Maybe some security, if you will. Next article, Manchester United push for David De Gea contract agreement to avoid summer bids from rivals. And again, this is just going to be in every week until he signs it. Do the deal, Dave. Do the deal. Eddie, pay the man. I mean, there's nothing more to it than that. I think it's probably similar to Ole. It's like, everyone knows Ole's going to be the manager, but it's not announced. I think we're close, and they're going to do it. It's just not announced. So I think the summer, right before the summer, is when you're going to get it like a wave of.
Talking about Ole, talking about De Gea's done.
Both. I think you're going to talk.
I think Ole's announcement's coming up in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a later article. But I do think if you're going to re-up players, it'll probably be May, early May. They'd be signing contracts, taking photo ops, right?
I mean,
there's no reason to do it before then, right?
You should announce it right now just to cover off the loss against Arsenal. We just re-signed De Gea to a 5-year deal.
They're gonna posture. I'm sure they're posturing until the window opens, right? Because like the agent will have
to maximize
the most leverage
amount of money they get
right before the window. Because when the window opens, that's when they could actually.
Because I could have easily picked an article that said the opposite of this, sir. Because there's talk that we're close. There's talk that, you know, United's rejected his latest request. So it's like I think we're at an impasse.
I also think top four probably matters too. I bet you De Gea thinks very highly of himself and he wants to be winning silverware.
Can't
blame
him,
based on the turnaround or Ole, I bet you his intention is to stay, but he wants to be the highest paid player on the team. And I would pay him that, but for some reason Woodward doesn't rate goalkeepers, so he wouldn't. A lot of people speculating too against the Arsenal match. I think I saw a few tweets about Gary Neville.
One game.
You know, all this stuff.
How many times has he saved us?
I know. Exactly. It's just, he's world number
people's
one.
People's memories in football can be a little ridiculous.
Sir, give us our next article.
And just like barbecue, Cantona mocks Neymar on social media days after a heated altercation with his dad, according to Goal.com. One of the great fallouts of this win at PSG. Let's talk about the positive, not the loss against Arsenal. has all the banter from not only Eric Cantona, but also Patrice Evra, just talking so much shit at PSG, at their players, at their owners. Apparently, they were celebrating all over the place, making a ruckus, and the owner was bashing in doors. Neymar's dad was, who knows what Neymar's dad does? I don't even want to talk about that on the pod.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I appreciate banter, and any banter making fun of Neymar, no one's gonna feel bad for him. That look on his face,
amazing.
That says it all. I mean, that's the meme of the season right there. That's the meme of the year maybe, and like we created it. It was great, and like clearly the boys are gonna celebrate. I just think the PSG players, obviously Neymar and the owner, had to be so salty. They lost in that fashion with the penalty late in the game, and they just couldn't believe it. That's compounded by the fact the last two seasons prior, they've been bouncing the same stage, all the money that's gone in. So I'm sure all that salt plus the United delegation, who obviously are gifted those tickets in that section by the ownership of PSG. You know, like when you got these people celebrating in your seats, you're going to be a little fired up. And so I think that's kind of where that clash happened. I like to think that Cantona's kicking people. So at least he didn't kick someone, you know, there. If it's just banter, that's just football, mate. When you talk to Arsenal fans, it's like, yeah, you can get along with an Arsenal fan. You don't need to hate them, but you got to say, look, you're a plastic club. I don't rate you. Like, you're going to disagree. You're going to talk smack. You know, there's a lot of cross-pollination amongst YouTube channels for these teams. They act like they're good friends, and then like they get on Twitter and just like yipping at each other. But that's what it's about. It's like you got to be able to, you know, take the stick if you're going to support a team. Like, that's what our Twitter thread is about with our friends. It's just people like yipping at everyone else's team. We're still friends, but you're going to dig a Chelsea fan when you can. He's going to dig us when he can. That's just football, mate.
Part of the game. You got to be able to talk shit. You got to be able to take shit. And as a Manchester United fan, you definitely have to be able to take shit, because we're the biggest club in England, one of the biggest clubs in the world. And if you're not a United fan, you probably hate United. Next article is Marco Asensio wants a Manchester United move, according to Sky Sports. Sir, what do you think? Gifted 23-year-old, pretty good player. Apparently, $69 million buyout clause doesn't sound right, but that's what they're listing as the amount that we need to pay for him. What do you think? Sounds like someone's looking for a new contract.
Yeah, sounds like smoke here. Again, we're approaching the time. I'm not going to worry about the transfer window until it's closed, sir. That's what I used to be on my phone. Just refresh, refresh, refresh.
Remember those days?
Every day during a transfer window. And it's a bad habit. It's a bad habit. So you just got to say, look, I'm going to hope for #Woodward350. But again, I'm not Ed Woodward, so I just got to take what we get. And last summer is a great example. Like, I got to the place where I knew we weren't signing anyone. After we signed Fred, I knew we weren't getting a defender in. And that's just called managing expectations. And look, we didn't do anything. So you get your hopes up, and the Woodward doesn't buy a defender. Look, you're just going to get let down. So I believe it when I see it. That's kind of how it goes. Put a jersey in front of a camera, have him smile with Ole.
Bring it up, Hedianya.
And then I'll be happy. And I'll be happy. But this whole, like, Asensio wants a move, it's like, we're not even qualified for top four. Let's make top four first, then we'll think about transfer muppetry. How about that?
Duly noted, sir. I will exclude all transfer talk until we confirm top four, which is only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. And next article from The Mirror. Manchester United want to confirm Solskjaer's next permanent manager during the upcoming international break. The club initially wanted to wait until the season was over, but they have decided they can plan for next season if announced earlier. Not sure how that logic makes sense.
What,
I think
they
can
mean?
Plan
I think
without
they can play
announcing
right now,
it.
Can't they?
Yeah, exactly.
But is The Mirror.
But an interesting part of that, Manchester United will pay Mould about £8 million to get Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's service. So, you know, Ole's earning his former club some money.
I'm sure they'll appreciate that.
They'll appreciate Mould. We'll appreciate that.
That's like nothing compared to what we'd have to pay Spurs.
Exactly. Spurs, I think, $40 million.
I heard £35 million.
£40 million?
Yeah. £40 million. Yeah, man, ridiculous. Million. More than eight. And what's next? Sir, it's been a new feature. What grinds John's gears this week?
This is easy. Lee Dixon on NBC. So, sir, you were traveling in Montana. I had to watch the game. I was going to look for a stream, and I said, you know what? Why don't I just log in NBC Sports? It's on. I'll just stream it through their platform. It can't be that terrible, right? Well, listen to Lee Dixon. I mean, he's got to learn a few things from Gary Neville. Gary Neville, he commentates on United games, and he knows that he's so biased for United, he'll be anti-United just so fans don't know that he's biased. But Lee Dixon was just like stroking Arsenal the whole match, like getting into it. It's almost like he had no check on his, you know, his sort of Arsenal support here, given he was a player and we murked him when he was at Arsenal. But this kind of gets at NBC generally, is that who's the other announcer? Graham Lasso? Oh, similar. Very Chelsea. Similar. And so I actually would prefer to watch it through NBC, and I actually actively look for streams because the color guy, Lee Dixon in this case, or Graham Lasso are so poor and they hate United.
They're so obviously anti-United. They have that heavy, it's usually a London-based team bias, whether it be an Arsenal bias or a Chelsea bias, but NBC's got it. They're rife with it. A lot of the papers in England have the same thing going on, a lot of Liverpool bias, but you basically can't listen to NBC anymore, especially when they're playing a team where it's either Chelsea or Arsenal, or one of the commentators actually played on that team, or Liverpool even worse, so that's what I did. I couldn't even get the audio to work on my computer when I was streaming the first half, sir, so I would say mute them. That's always my move.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. And then the stream quality was poor. It kept pausing, and I had to refresh and keep watching the Sprint ad to like get the stream on. And it makes no sense that, A, the stream would just pause, considering this is supposed to be like, you know, they pay hundreds of millions for these rights. You think they'd be investing in the stream quality, but it's not even that good. And then there's they give you that ad at the top of your screen. When you go full screen, you got to have to watch an ad too. And then they ask people to pay for gold. It's like, no way, Jose. I'm slating NBC. I don't mind Arlo White, but it's the color guys that are really poor, and they got to improve that. Or those guys just have to get their head out of their, you know what, when they're commentating against or for Manchester United. But it sounds like they're commentating against Manchester United, sir. Getting into the fan questions at Ty Kircher on Twitter. Really appreciate you, Ty. Wasn't able to catch the match, but after seeing highlights, it looked like we were unlucky and bad at finishing more than a real defeat. That said, would you just chuck this in the bin and move forward as we were? Or does this game linger in the minds of the players as we prepare for Wolves? Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Hashtag MUFC. Sir, what do you think?
I think this just reiterates that you can never take anything for granted. Good performance is not always enough to win a game, and you have to kill off the team and make the most of the chances that you create. So we created more. We deserve the win. Didn't get the win. What do you got to do? You got to bounce back, not feel bad for yourself, and we've got a quarterfinal to win because we got to move on in the FA Cup, beat Wolves away, and then use the momentum that we get from that win to carry on in the Premier League. And I'm not saying we're going to win out, but we should go unbeaten in those next eight games. And if we do that, as long as we don't get all draws, we should be in a good position to qualify for top four.
Yeah, it's really how does this affect the players' mentality going forward. And we go into Wolves, we perform well, there's nothing to worry about. We go into Wolves, we lose, something to worry about for top four. Because it's kind of in the, there's some sort of mental component when it comes to footballers. There's a mental component to why PSG folded. There's a mental component why Arsenal would have folded if we scored one. And there, because Manchester United, we believe that we're going to win every single game. And I do like the post. Pogba had a great post on social media. It's just on to the next one. We got to win. We got to show everyone that we can play, right? And that's what I think Lukaku, after they beat PSG, Pogba came in and hugged him in that press conference we featured here. And I think Lukaku said to Pogba, "We don't speak, we only perform." And that's got to be a saying between Pogba and Lukaku, that they say, "We don't speak, we only perform." And that is what it's about at Manchester United. And they got to go in and they got to perform. So, you know, on to the next one.
It's a big one. It's a big one. And this is a results-based business. I think this is going to wake the boys up.
Go get me top four, boys.
Because they were flying. And now they're like, let's go. Let's go. We got to finish the season strong. We've been playing really well. But now everything's up for grabs. Not saying we got to win the Champions League, but we got to win the FA Cup. And we got to finish the top four.
And we got some shout-outs this week. We have a big shout-out to Jeremy in Seattle, who is the chairman of the Seattle Red Army, which is one of two supporters clubs in the United States that are recognized by Manchester United. So it's a big deal. But Jeremy, shout-out to you. Thanks so much. He sent us some swag, sent us a Seattle Red Army scarf and some stickers. We had done a podcast exchange where he did some interviews at the bar. They watch in Seattle. We tweet out their stuff. We always post their stuff on Facebook. They got a great crew in Seattle. I think we want to come visit soon. So, Jeremy, thank you for the swag. And big ups to you for creating a special supporters group in Seattle. I'm United, man. That's the glory, glory, Man United. That's what it's all about. American Manchester United fans, creating these fan groups and really building around a solid pub environment early in the morning. What's amazing is you and me, earlier in our days, we go to the pub early, and now we just sit on the couch with some coffee and watch the game. So as we got married, we're getting into older age. We don't frequent the pub, but we'd be up for a trip, Jeremy, so we'll come visit you in Seattle. But again, shout out to Jeremy in Seattle.
Keep the good work, and you know, I think we will find time to go up to Seattle, have a couple of dark ales with our friend Jeremy. I'm sure he's got a good crew up there to watch the games with.
Sir, it's been a hell of a week for downloads. It is a record for
us. Another record.
I'm going to say the hype train has also peaked as well going into this game, so it explains the interest in the Manchester United podcast. But again, we appreciate you, and we want to get some shout-outs to top 10 cities last 7 days. Sir, get us started here.
Number one, and I think it's a new number one, is Round Rock, Texas. How you doing? Number two, Lancaster, PA. Number three, Chi-Rock, Chicago, Illinois.
There you go, sir.
Keep it going,
sir. Chi-Rock. Number four, New York, New York. Number five, The Shire, Oslo, Norway. Huge feature on the podcast. I know Norway has gone crazy for Ole since he's come to Manchester United and gone this famous run all over the papers, all over the media. So Norway showing up strong.
Appreciate you.
Number six, Redford, Michigan.
Number seven, Marshall, Illinois. Number eight, LA, California. Number nine, Dammam, Saudi Arabia. I think the Saudis are back looking to buy. And number 10, Reykjavik, Iceland. Thank you all. We appreciate you. Another record week. Unbelievable stuff. Like I said, we have the best fans in the world, supporting the best club in the world. Just two guys sitting on the couch doing their job, trying to bring people content about the team that they love. Appreciate you all.
Just trying to get the banter out there, sir. It's just how we do at this small operation of a podcast. You see these mic stands we're using. One's half broken.
Haven't bought a new one for 6 months.
We got some duct tape here going
Making
on.
Making it work.
But the priority is just getting as many pods out as possible. And by the way, you guys have stepped up huge on the reviews. I believe we're at 96. We just need to get to, like, what is it, 104?
104 is the high water mark. So we need to get to 105. So we need 10 more.
Yeah, so keep pushing on the reviews. And for those who haven't listened before, if you drop a nice review of the podcast, we'll send you a sticker. All you need to do is send us a screenshot and send us your address. You can email us, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. That's probably the easiest way to do it. Or you can send it to us on Twitter @USAREDDevils. But again, because we're a small-time shop, word of mouth, reviews. If you can share, tweet us, tell us about us to your fellow Manchester United fans you might be watching at the bar. That is how we're growing. We're growing organically. Like you said, we're trying to get the hot banter out there. The American fan perspective is not out there, sir.
It doesn't exist. You know, it hasn't been publicly consumable. We hope and we think we're doing us American Manchester United fans proud, bringing content throughout the world. We know we got a big fan base here in the States, but we think we got something to say. We got some banter. We like talking about our favorite team.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Jeremy up in Seattle, getting all those Reds together, supporting the club, the best club in the world, like you said. I mean, that's what it's about. And Americans, we're embracing the beautiful game, and we have for a long time, regardless of Team USA kind of in the dumps right now. EPL in the United States is going off the chains, and that's what we like to see. And one more way you can support the podcast is via our Patreon page. Sure, you guys know about Patreon. You can find our page at www.AmericanRedDevils.com, and your support goes a long way. But sir, we have a big FA Cup match. We're hungry for the silverware, you know, because we're the most successful club in all English football. We have to be fed silverware, sir. That's
constantly
what we depend on. Top four ain't too bad either. But let's show up to Wolves, boys. Let's get it done. Let's move on. How good does it feel, sir?
Always at the wheel.
Always at the wheel.